As some of you know, I spent the last week of November on a 5-day silent retreat in the desert of Arizona. And it was a beautiful experience of being in this little hermitage overlooking this valley that was just full of cactus, beautiful silhouette of the mountains in the background. But after the first day of being completely in silence, on day two, I was starting to go a little crazy, kind of muttering to myself and talking to myself. But it showed me something very important, that I was out of touch with what was going on in my own heart. And I needed that time to withdraw from the world into quiet, to kind of reacquaint myself with what was going on within me, where my heart was at this particular time in my life. Once I was able to identify some of the tapes that were playing in my mind, I was much more receptive when God the Father in prayer started to pour out His love, to push away all the shame, all the fear, all the anxiety. I think all of us know we live in a very performance-driven world. We're always being evaluated. And if somebody else isn't evaluating us, we're probably evaluating ourselves. And oftentimes we project that onto God, where the Lord just wants to love us, meeting us where we're at, holding us. So it was a very, very powerful experience of praying with Scripture and receiving the Lord's love. But what I found was, is came back to the parish, and if you know, or if you've watched your priests over the past few years with Christmas, you'll know, as I'm learning in my first year, that Advent is anything but a quiet time in a parish. It's like a marathon. And so yesterday I decided, you know, it's been go, go, go. I'm going to take a little time after confessions to pull away again. This time, instead of a silent retreat, I decided to go to get a peppermint mocha at Starbucks. Well, it's seasonal. You got to get it while they have it, so. But you know, I got there, got my coffee. I had to wait a long time before I could actually grab a table. And as I sat down, kind of settled in, opened up my scriptures, and said, okay, call on the Holy Spirit to pray. And oh my gosh, it was so freaking loud in there. It's like all the baristas are shouting, those machines are so loud. There's Christmas music in the background. And I'm like, people have to be going crazy because their cell phone alerts are beeping every 10 seconds. And I'm like, this is just complete and total madness. But I kept trying to pray, realizing that this is the world that we often live in. Now, all of us need to take time to pull away from the world and to unplug and to be able to enter into prayer. I hope that all of you make some type of retreat throughout the course of the year to pull away and to be with the Lord in some fashion. But our mission isn't simply to pull away. While it's true, all of us, like Jesus, who would frequently pull away to pray to His Father in secret on the mountaintop early in the morning, late at night, that was so that He could go out in mission. And I realized in this kind of dynamic, comparing my experience of prayer in the desert to that at Starbucks, that most of us probably live our lives more in the Starbucks realm. Our world is very noisy and we're very busy. Many of us are Marthas. We're running around anxiously, and Jesus is just saying, please come sit at my feet for a moment and rest a while. So I hope that in this final stretch, these last 9 days of Advent, that you'll see it as kind of a little mini novena leading up to Christmas, to pull away each day for a little more prayer, so that you have the energy you need to be sustained in all of the craziness of the holiday season. But to be sure, anybody who decides to go into the desert, that is, to go into quiet prayer, will quickly find it's not as easy as it sounds. There's a story of a psychologist who met with this man who was very stressed and overwhelmed, and he was working 14-hour days in the business world, and he couldn't find happiness. So he met with his psychologist, and the psychologist said, okay, I want you to cut your work day from 14 hours to 8 hours. And then when you go home, I want you to just go into your room and sit quietly. So the man did as he thought he was told and cut his work hours from 14 to 8 hours, and he would every night go into his room and he would spend a little time listening to Mozart. Then he'd pull out a novel, and then he'd go to bed. And he did this for a month. And he went back to a psychologist and said, it's not working. He says, well, tell me what you did. And he said, well, I went into my room and I listened to Mozart every night and I read this novel. And he said, I didn't ask you to spend your time with Mozart or the author of the book. I asked you to spend your time with yourself. And the man said, oh, that would be awful. Who could ever stand that? You see, there's some truth in that, though, that all of us are kind of a little bit afraid of having to examine our own interiority. We like to distract ourselves from having to focus on some of the misery of our own hearts, our own souls. But unless we do this hard work of entering into solitude in order to enter into communion with the Trinity, then we'll never be able to deeply receive God's love. Because you know the very areas that God wants to pour his love into your lives are those areas of pain and misery. Because you know God knows that you're open to receiving his love when you trust him enough to show him the ugliest side of yourself. Then he says, you finally trust me. And all I want to do is love you in that. That's how Jesus comes to heal us and to save us. But we have to stop putting on masks. And the only way for us to rip the masks off of our false selves and to be our true selves, to take on our true identity as children of God and let God love us as we are, is if we truly learn to come to him as we are. So, Jesus is about to be born as our Savior. But are you open to letting him actually save you? Stop thinking about Jesus saving mankind. Start thinking about Jesus saving you. What is it in your heart that's crying out for salvation? Because every one of us, whether we recognize it or not, are in need. And if you don't know what it is, ask the Holy Spirit to shed light. Because we all are in need of a Savior. And the good news is that God the Father has provided one in his Son for us. So as we go forth Let us take on the spirit of St. John the Baptist, who came into the world to testify to the light. He was not the light, but he came, as the gospel said, to give testimony to the light which was coming into the world. The only way for us to give testimony to the light, to become men and women, or better yet, as St. Paul says, sons and daughters of the light, is for us to spend time in prayer with the one who is the light, Jesus. It's hard work. Prayer is an ascetical discipline to be faithful to. But all good things cost, don't they? And to know the love of God on a deeper level, isn't that worth all of the sacrifice in the world, of time, of coming to know yourself a little more? Here's two exercises that you can do in prayer to prepare yourself this week for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first is I encourage you to pick up your Bibles, to dust them off, and to open them up to the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, at the beginning of the New Testament, and read in Matthew and Luke the first two chapters of each Gospels. Because those two Gospels in the first two chapters give the totality of the story of the birth of Christ. That's all it is. Four chapters. And read how God sent his Son into the world to save us, and ponder those texts in a prayerful way between now and the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th when the Christmas season ends. Second spiritual exercise that I encourage you to take on is in your prayer today at Mass and throughout the week at home to picture in your imagination St. Joseph or Our Lady holding the Christ child. And then to hold him yourself. This is very important for a couple of reasons. One, because oftentimes we think of God as an idea, not as a person. But when you hold an infant, you never think of an infant as an idea. You think of it as a person, as a very precious, innocent, beautiful person. You look into its eyes and you smile. There's something about a child that evokes love and hope for all of us. How much more so in the divine child? To see that Jesus is a person that the Father sent into the world. And maybe some of us can't believe that God loves us, but we can begin to let him love us as a little child, holding him in our arms in prayer. Perhaps we're afraid of God, but there's nothing to be afraid of in the vulnerability of a little one. Maybe there the Lord wants to teach you for the first time in a deep way his immense and profound love for you. You need his love in order to be full and to go out and testify to the light. Because to be sure, it's not easy to testify to the light in this dark world. But the world has always been dark, and our times are no darker than the times that went before us. But this world belongs to the forces of darkness, and we belong to the kingdom of light. As we celebrate the birth of the light who came into the world, let us receive that love so that we can give testimony to that love and light. Praise be Jesus Christ.